And we welcome you inside this Sports Ethos Sacramento Kings podcast on this Friday. Sam Comente here with you, alongside, as always, the incomparable and all-knowing Jill Adge. And Jill, could the Omicron variant just chill for like 10 minutes? Could we just, everyone get a chance to get their boosters, everyone get a chance to like grab their bearings? Because it is ravaging sports, not just the NBA. It's also the NFL that's getting hit hard. We had three games that were moved back just this morning, including my Raiders, who were supposed to play Saturday. Now I have to play on Monday because the whole Cleveland Browns team, literally half the team, had COVID. And now the Kings are getting their run in with this virus, with this strain probably. Yeah.
If anyone follows hockey, they've been shutting down on and off for the last couple of weeks. And so all they see and what they all they did was the league's not shut down. It's they've shut down teams, right, that are having these issues. They've shut them down until the new year. You're seeing it in soccer, and I play fantasy Premier League soccer over there, and it's the same thing. There's only five matches scheduled for this next game week, and they're just shutting teams down. Like, everyone else is still going, and then they're, you know, shutting teams down for so many days, and then can you make it for your next one? So that's all I think the NBA is going to follow suit with what these ones are doing. If you don't have eight people to sue, all right, we're going to cancel the game, but we're going to give you exemptions, and you'll have eight people to go for the next game. Like, they've made it pretty clear what they're doing. I mean, the Kings weren't the first team to get hit, right? Chicago was hit. They couldn't fill out the eight at the time, and so they postponed the Chicago-Toronto game. I'm sure they're going to get the hardship exemptions, just like Brooklyn just did, right? Their last two games, they had to play. Kevin Durant was out there with it was Blake Griffin, a second year, and then a bunch of rookies who are on their first year deals or two ways. So, I mean, you know what? And they won their last two games. So yeah, kudos to them. Durant and then helps. They just signed three vets. They signed James Ennis, who I wanted the Kings to sign. But, this is how you're seeing it, is that they're, and the thing about Brooklyn is they're having to pay even more because of the luxury tax thing. It's not like, I mean, they gave certain salaries that they're giving for this, but it's hitting their pockets too. And they're having to keep going. Which is an interesting wrinkle for some of these teams that are in the tax.
Right.
They've kind of laid the groundwork now that if you don't have the eight, they'll cancel it, but you're going to have eight for the next game and you're moving on regardless of what's going on inside the building. I mean, listening to James and Sean Cunningham dropped a podcast last night, and they had waited because they were going to, you know, get as much detail as they could. And I think the word that Sean used was rampant. It's rampant in the building, right? Around staff, they only have to announce players, right? But obviously you're not gonna say who the people are because you can't verbally talk about other people's health stuff. But that he made it clear, it was like, it's a thing that's spreading around there, whether that be coaches, front office, locker room,
Employees, sales, arena.
It can literally be anybody in there. And so, it's not surprising because they were just on a road trip and they visited teams that are going through the exact thing that the Kings are going through. The Hornets were there last week and they're getting some of their guys back this week. So it's just kind of
winter now. We're in that season.
Yeah. And you hit the Hornets and then you hit Toronto, two teams that had multiple players out. And then unfortunately, Lewis King, I mean, fortunately, he was with us. Unfortunately, he was with us, got it, and then played in a G League game yesterday in OKC. And so we're assuming, you know, Ramsey and Woodard and Kata are good just because they haven't been listed on anything. But I know people asked why, aren't they signing Stockton King? Well, who knows who's in protocols, you know, over there. Like, at this point, it's right now they're taking possibly Justin Robinson, right, is the name we've heard.
Yep.
He's a guy that's played in the league already, right? He was a two-way for the Bucks and started the season with them because they had like half of their team out. injured, and then it turned into COVID. But and then he was released in November. To me, I'm looking at him as the Damian Jones of the league so far, where last year he played on like five different teams, right? It was like he was always an able body that could go, was ready and could go play on a team. And so now we're seeing maybe it's Justin Robinson will be bouncing around. And to me, I see them as grabbing him is because he's someone, right, that had played in a game this year, and they might not have any point guards because Tyrese is questionable and Davion is now in protocol. So if you need a point guard, and who knows what's going on with Stockton, right? Because we're not privy to that, then you just took a guy who's could be thrown in there.
Let's recap here real quick, Jill. Fox is out. Len is out. Holmes is out. Not COVID. That's his eye. King, as you just mentioned, out. Mitchell is now questionable. Harkless is questionable. Halliburton is questionable.
Harkless is questionable?
I thought I saw Harkless on the report. Not with COVID.
Oh, no, it was Chemezi and Halliburton.
Oh, maybe it was Metu.
Don't scare me. That's
no, you're good. I didn't think it was maybe COVID. I thought he tweaked something. I might have messed up what name I saw.
No, he's on there as available.
Okay, my bad. Okay. So it's Metu then.
It was Metu and
one of the stretch fours
with the knee. Yeah.
Right. And it was not a COVID thing. So
yeah,
that's it. That's like half
we lost another one.
Yeah. Just dropping like flies, but you're going to see a lot of G League plays. I think Jill, the game's going to go on unless a sudden shift happens, which it can, the game's not till 7, but like you said, the NBA doesn't want to do it. If you feel the
team. As of right now, they have the 8 that they can do.
They have more than 8.
Possibly 10.
Yeah. They have like 10.
Well, 2 are
for the G League.
Yeah. I'm saying like 2. If they don't have Tyrese and Metu, they have 8. If they have those two, they have 10.
Got it.
So like either way, they still have, as of now, the available. Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. But the only now I just were like, you're throwing guys out there and you don't want injuries. Like, you know, and that's the same thing Brooklyn was worried about. Like, now it's you're risking, you know, this stuff on guys having to play extra again, but it's maybe they can get someone in today. I don't know.
I wonder.
I don't know the protocols on or when you are bringing someone in from outside. I don't know what the protocols are for that either.
Petri dish. I don't know where Justin Robinson currently is. I know he plays for the Wisconsin Herd. That's the G League affiliate for. Well, actually, I don't know who they Bucks. Yeah, that would make sense. Wisconsin. So that's the Herd. That's okay. Yeah. Now I'm getting Now I'm getting it. That's pretty obvious. Yeah. There's a lot of players that they could pluck if they wanted to from the G League. We don't know the process. This is just the one name we've heard from Wojnarowski saying this was the guy that they're going to use.
This is the one name we heard. And again, we're not privy to G League health and safety protocols. So there's plenty of names in there, but we also don't know who's available and not available because I think it was it Chicago? It wasn't just their NBA team. It was their G League team is like completely out too. Like, I mean, it's like it completely took them out. So if they were trying to pull someone from their own team, like their own G League, they didn't even have that option. Right. So
they were a dire situation for sure. Memphis doesn't have, Morant is out still. And I guess he was health and safety technically and injury. Was he not? It says on the injury report.
It was injury first, and then
now it's health and safety.
Maybe it's both, but the prominent one maybe is health. I don't know.
Yeah, and then they're not going to have Zaire Williams, the rookie. It doesn't seem so. They're not going to be full strength, which they haven't been most of the season, really. And it's credible because they're 9-1 in their last 10. They won 4 straight. The Grizzlies 18-11. It's almost said it last pod. It's almost like they're a little bit better without Ja. There's just a lot of dudes out there that are either underappreciated or not huge names, and they're playing really well. So this is not going to be an easy game. It was never going to be an easy game, even if the Kings were at full strength. But we do know it's going to be Doug Christie, probably. Again, unless something changes suddenly, Alvin Gentry suddenly gets double negatives. It's Doug Christie's second game tonight. So to recap that previous game, Jill, it was fun. Everyone was hyped about Doug. And they came back. They had a strong second half, which is something we haven't said much this year. And they ended up pretty much handling Washington by the end of it, 119-105. And Doug's postgame press conference is one of the most entertaining press conferences I've seen heard from a coach in Sacramento in a long time. Because he's just, you know, he's such a good genuine person who cares so much. And it just comes out in his words, you know, talking about how the city deserves a winner, how they gave you a full effort, how this is something you should stand up and applaud, which might be a little exaggerated. It's a win against a Wizards team that's been struggling. But you get his point. You know, this is the way the Kings should be playing. And I credit him for having him ready, because that's not easy, Jill. Not with this circumstance.
No, yeah, it was kudos to everyone, you know, players and coaches alike. Like, I mean, it was a true team effort. Like, you needed everybody. You know, to me, it was just a great good for you night. Like, that's all. I'll look at it as just, I mean, you were having to throw everything at the window there to see what stuck. And he was doing some like hockey line, you know, changes of rosters. And so, and I think part of that too was he didn't get any days to prepare either. It was the morning of, hey, like, you're going to be coaching. So
here's a clipboard.
You don't even have a game plan. Like, right. Like, so you're just going at what you're doing. And he had to rely on, right, his staff, like everybody. And you saw how excited they all were after, like, they were hugs. I mean, it was, you could tell they all felt, everyone in the building there felt happy for each other. And so it was just a great,
it's a good moment.
Good job, guys. And it couldn't happen to a nicer, you know, a nicer guy. So,
and he gets the game ball, apparently. It's not something they do a whole lot in basketball.
And I think the post stuff spoke volumes for anyone that was trying to come up with any kind of, you know, narratives of things going on. Like, they get along, they like each other, they're happy for each other. Like, everyone just wants to win. Like, it's, everything doesn't need to be political to fans or have some crazy like agenda. Like, I mean, it's okay. It's going to be a couple games. Good job. Enjoy it.
Roll with it.
I would just say it, not everything needs to be looked at under a microscope until, you know, just enjoy what they did.
Yeah. And they played, you know, and this, I think, comes into the plays with, you know, not having a whole lot of time to prepare for Christie, but they just played. It was full out blitz, like just speed, you know, they really played like an Alvin Gentry type of flow and pace. They shot 26 threes. I don't know this for sure, Joe, but I would have to assume that has to be a season low from beyond the arc. They're usually 30 or above. 26 is pretty low. Might be one of the lowest. We'll just say that. Got to the free throw line almost 30 times, 29 times to the line. That's up there for the season and getting to the stripe. Assists 25. That's a good number. And then Harrison Barnes got out of his
freaking awesome, man. Raise the hands to the sky.
Like, when he hit the three, he's awesome. Like, thank you. Finally, Doug was hyped. Awesome. That was a good moment. It just shows how frustrated, of course, Harrison's been and how big of a player. I mean, obviously, he's
and you can see how happy the players were for him, too.
Yeah, he's a great class act professional who's been nothing but upstanding and a terrific player for this team since he was traded here.
He's fully healthy. Like, I think he's out there playing, right? Like, and what do we always ask these guys, right? To play through it. He's playing through it, whether it's pretty, ugly, whatever. Like, respect to him for being out there playing through it, because he gives a shit. And you know what I mean? Like, I love seeing him show some emotion and the players be excited for him as well.
Yeah. And he had 19 points, second on the team in scoring. De'Aaron had another great game, 28. And then Tyrese made a joke about this after the game. But if it wasn't for that damn Doug Christie, he would have probably had a triple-double. He had 8 points, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists. But Doug pulled him towards the end because the game was out of hand.
Great.
And Tyrese had some fun about it, saying, if he had let me out there, I would have probably got my triple-double, which I don't, this is, again, not just pulling shit out of my mind. I don't think he's ever had a triple-double yet. He might have had one last year, but I don't remember. That's a rare accomplishment.
This might have been the closest, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to do unless you're Russell Westbrook, so... Good for Tyrese, good for Harrison, good for Doug. They didn't pull anyone.
Yeah. And Davion had a good game too. And I liked the post game quote of Doug saying he keeps telling him that you know, it's a 94 foot floor and the first 47 is whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
And he said that he saw him take advantage of that and was really excited about that. Like, that's the little things that I like. And little things of coaching, right? Like that you don't hear, that we know this stuff gets talked about. We don't get to hear it. And so, and you could see how excited, you could see Doug being excited that like something I was trying to tell him, he implemented and, you know, it worked. And then seeing Davion say, you know, smiling that he called his mom, you know, yeah. And his family when he found out he was starting and stuff. And I think that gave him a good taste of, you know, what that's like, you know, which is always, you know, cool for young guys. So
Doug really,
yeah. And at the end of the game, I love the Metu one at the end where he went and like rolled it off and then he came back like, sorry, I couldn't help it. Like,
yeah,
it was wide open space to the lane. And I did it because the Kings didn't need another basket. But
right,
when you're giving it to a guy who's, you know, been playing on and off, like he's excited to be out yeah. there. Like, I thought it was hilarious. He was running harmless. Back with the hands like, oh, yeah. Sorry, the had Jordan. To do it.
Yeah, I think Doug definitely flexed a little bit of his coaching intangibles. You know, no one doubted the man could be a coach and that he deserved to be a coach after years of like seeking that out. But just, you know, he's such an excellent communicator. He's very active and involved in the game throughout. You know, it was funny watching him on the sidelines because he looked completely comfortable, but it didn't look like it didn't look normal. Yeah, and he was just like flailing. He was being like a spaz.
I think his biggest thing was is the knowledge is there. All that part's there. It's learning the nuances of like the game plans, right?
Rotations,
like
yeah.
The little things, right? The knowledge and the know-how, that stuff there. I think it's the little nuances, which is, this is great, you know, learning for him. And to go back to something that Sean and James said yesterday, that, you know, I hadn't heard this before, but it makes sense that he's able to be himself on that bench.
Yeah.
Right. But if you see the stuff coming out with some of these other, maybe a little bit more serious coaches, right? Like if, what was their example? Doug wouldn't be able to go be Doug on a Carlisle bench, right? Yeah. Like it's your prim proper, bench. Like it's reserved. You have Luke Walton and Gentry who are cool laid back guys, right? Like that's mm-hmm. kind of their persona. And
Luke went to the University of Arizona. So.
Which I think, yeah, which, and even with Gentry doing this, like you can see, like he lets him be him, right? To where it might not work, you know, anywhere else, or it could work, but he'd have to adapt and not be the Doug that everybody loves. And so, you know, I think that's cool. And, you know, he had to interview like everybody else for that job. It wasn't just given to him. He interviewed against other people and they felt like, you know, Gentry gets a say in his, you know, and Luke got a say in their staff too. I mean, even as Luke said, it wasn't like a one-off thing that they had been talking about this for years. So,
right.
You know, and it fit at the time. And so, you know, just things to remember, but I thought that was a cool thing. It is true. Like thinking about it, it would be hard to see Doug being like in the suit all prim and proper and not like up and, you know, being his like normal self that we're used to seeing, you know, all the time.
His good vibes. I have this little thing on my desk. I just bought this little plaque that says good vibes only. That's a constant in the Christie household. I'm sure it's all about the good vibes. Doug mm-hmm. does rock a killer bow tie though. I respect a man that wears a bow tie very well.
Oh yeah.
Doug does it exceptionally well. So if he wanted to, for some reason, bring back the bow tie, even though coaches are allowed to do casual now, I'd be totally okay with that. And for anyone that thinks Gentry, you know, might be like, oh, damn, I can't believe he won that game. Now he gets to coach again. Like, what if he would? I don't think there's anyone happier on that coaching staff. Maybe Rico Hines, but happier for Doug than Alvin Gentry. Gentry loves
it. He FaceTimed, right?
Yeah.
During it. And then after congratulating, like, again, this team wants to win. This team wants to win. Like we, as fans, we all think of like all the crazy ass extra. Theories. Oh my God. It means this and this and that. Like end of the day, these guys just want to win. Right. Like it doesn't have to be that big of a deal. Yeah. They're all happy and they just want to win. So
I would be pretty hyped, very hyped if they were able to win this game though. Again, given everyone that's going to be lost on this game, who's not going to play if they play against a good Memphis team. And I, Christina Warner and I had a little conversation on Twitter before the game on Wednesday, where I said, if Doug wins these next two games, assuming he coaches both, I hope they, I'm going to petition the NBA, and I'm joking, of course. I'm going to petition the NBA that Doug Christie should be credited with those wins, because obviously they're going to go to Gentry, kind of like what happened with Walton in Golden State with Steve Kerr. The wins are not going to go for Doug. These are not technically his wins. But I was joking. I was like, he needs these wins. Doug deserves the glory. And Christina was like, all right, slow down, Sam. Like, you know, let's take this one game at a time. And I was like, slow down, Christina. I've been in park, Jill, following this team, maybe neutral, idling sometimes. Since I follow this team, I want to floor it if I get a chance. I want to go full speed ahead and just be excited about something. For once, give me something. And Doug Christie is a fucking bottle of, you know, excitement and just like just so much emotion with the guy all the time. And I love it because the team does need that. This team needs a little life. And if even if it's just these two games where he gets to lead the troops, I think it could really do wonders for them. This is being me being optimistic, but
and it's not like he's leaving resurrecting him, right? Like,
no, he's still there.
And when Gentry comes back, like it's he's still there. Yes, 100%. But what's funny about the credit thing is, like, on the official stat book, like when it comes to like at the end of their coaching career, like it's not counted. But if you read any articles or like do anything, it's funny that everyone will still be like,
oh yeah,
oh he's you know 1-0 or whatever. I was laughing about that when I was doing the Adrian Griffin one, how he has the 1-0 because he got to coach the bubble game, right? Like that, like it's we still give it to him.
Of course, everyone does.
We still give him those games. Yeah. But yeah, it's a weird thing how they do that in the official, record books.
But. Luke Walton pretty much got hired in LA because everyone kind of, even though the wins again went to Kerr, they're like, but they're Waltons, you know, like that's a lot of wins for a guy that's never coached. And that catapulted his illustrious coaching.
Of all-stars.
Yeah. Of the dream team of this modern era. It was all Luke Walton's ideas. Yeah. So if they don't play tonight, the Kings, we've hammered this. They're not going anywhere. They're staying in Sacramento. I guess it's kind of the best time to have to go through this because you're not traveling.
100%, right?
Yeah. You just have to take a bus ride at some point in the next, I think next week to Golden State, to San Francisco. But they play San Antonio on Sunday. And then I got to look again at my schedule. It's a lot of Western Conference teams. And now that they played, so it's Golden State on Monday. So they play a back-to-back. So, it almost concerns me now because if they play this game and there's some repercussions from it, then you have a back-to-back Sunday, Monday, and then a game on Wednesday. Like you could be in a lot of trouble for the Kings more than they already are with players' health. If playing tonight risks anything or makes it worse, what'd you read? Sorry. Yeah. You said,
Oh no, I was looking, DeMar DeRozan just, is now out of health and safety. So that's good for, Chicago on getting their stuff. Yeah. Sorry. I was just looking to see if there was anything else that popped up.
I missed something.
There was a Shams thing. And so I was like, ooh, is that another one? And then it was like, oh, someone's out. Yay. Like someone's out of protocols. Good for them. And I think it's important to remember, like, because again, everything is speculation because we are not privy to people's health records, right?
No.
Just because someone goes in protocol, Doesn't mean that they are positive. Like there are ground rules when it comes to contact tracing. And depending on if you're vaccinated, unvaccinated, there's different kinds of rules for quarantine, non-quarantine, testing out of things. So again, I would just say, I just see a lot of speculation out there and people automatically putting labels on people. Like, let's just not. Like, because again, we don't know and don't be throwing accusations at people. We don't know, you know what I mean?
Good like, lesson in anything, that, like, throwing accusations.
Again, yes. And I know the protocols are confusing, which the players themselves, Joel Embiid said he thought it was great what they did last year and what they've done this year. Made no sense to him and put a
now
lot
they're
of,
changing it though. That's
put
a
lot
point.
Of players in jeopardy that didn't necessarily need it. Now they're going back to, you know, being a little bit more stricter. And at the end of the day, I think for the most part of these guys, they'll do whatever's asked because they want to play at the end of the day. Like they want to be out there and doing their job, right? What they love to do. So I would just say, and because there's reasons people are listed as doubtful and questionable because you can test negative and twice in a 24-hour period and come back. So don't automatically think out means something doubtful doesn't. Like, just let it play out. Just watch as it goes.
Hard for
so
us
that, that's the only recommendation I will impart out there, is that there's just a lot of back end stuff that we don't know. And so, and we're only ever going to get so much information because we're not privy to it. Like, that's just the way it is. And we have to accept that.
Yes. You just reminded me too.
And just go from there.
You just reminded me that it was announced, I think yesterday or this morning even, that the NBA and the players have agreed to enhance their protocols through the holidays in response to the numbers, which is, again, the NFL is doing the exact same thing. They're reverting back to what they did last year as like a safeguard. So this means that the masks will now be in place way
testing
more
every
like
day,
in the locker room,
testing
every day. The exception for masks is obviously when you're playing. And then for head coaches, they still don't need to wear a mask, although I'm sure you'll see some coaches go back to wearing it, like Nick Nurse is wearing it in Canada. And then testing will be increased from December 26th, the day after Christmas, obviously, through January 8th, when they expect another spike or just, you know, steady numbers through the holidays. So,
And there very well could be another vote at, you know, when
it's open,
when that time comes too. But I guess the step is that they are at least, you know, they're doing something. So, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And,
like everything else now, you just don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to predict this. And, you know, I made a comment because it's not, I don't think anyone expected it to be this bad again, like with everyone vaccinated. You know, we didn't know about the Omicron coming.
It's the holidays.
It's the holidays. People
just,
are traveling.
I mean,
but it's catching a lot of people off. You know, they're like, oh shit, I didn't realize it was going to get this out of hand. It was something that the NBA, the NFL, these leagues, they thought they had pushed through that now that there's vaccinations and people are you know, getting their shots. But that's the reality of it, Jill. It's evolving.
It's just like we've seen how many different variants now, right? Like,
yeah,
it's,
exactly. We're going
through.
There's
so many things
alphabet.
We just still have no idea. Yes. Like, and that makes it hard when if there's any kind of guessing, or if they think that something's going away. Like, I think this thing, life has shown us that nothing's really.
Yep.
At this point, we just don't.
Good thing as Kings fans, we're prepared, right?
Yeah.
We always expect the unexpected, or at least we should.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
You know, and last episode we were saying how, you know, nothing had really happened to where, like, is this team really going to show us, you know, one road or the other?
Sure.
This might force a hand. I mean,
literally,
You just don't. Last year we thought it would, right? When all those guys were out, we thought they would lose and it would be better. And the guys that are fighting for their spots, they showed up and they played same way Brooklyn just did, right?
Yeah,
those guys are
game.
Playing for their basketball careers.
Yeah.
Like, they're not here for your, we want to lose. We, you know, and kudos to them for doing it on a good Brooklyn team, because now everything I'm reading is, they have all this like trait. They don't have the draft picks, but they have all this young talent now that is winning, you know, multiple games.
Okay.
And those could be used as trade leverage. So there's always stuff out there, but this gives guys, right, and that we were always wondering about, it gives them their first opportunity.
Yeah.
So
we'll see
what they do with it.
We'll be excited about Kata and Ramsey getting a lot of play.
We wish everybody
Jamie Jones
health and everything else, and good luck to the guys, you know, that are getting their shot right now.
And that's how we'll end this one, is a reminder to everyone, you know, be safe, stay healthy, wear your mask, get boosters. Again, do what you can to stay protected. Let's hope we get these sports keep rolling. No one wants to see any postponements or suspensions again. We've been through that hell. We don't want to do it again.
We all want to have good holidays with.
Yeah. We all want to live our normal lives, right? Seriously. And we appreciate you guys listening on this Friday. We'll be back on Monday to review the weekend, see what crazy stuff continues to happen in the world of sports, in the world of the Sacramento Kings. But until then, guys, Slater dudes.